This evening, Pope Benedict will celebrate the Easter Vigil in St. Peter's to usher in the day we celebrate the joy of Christ's resurrection from the dead. But what actually happens during this Easter Saturday Vigil? What is its main significance? And how far back can we trace its history within the Church? Well, to find out more, I spoke to Father Jan Michael Jongus, a professor of liturgy from Minnesota, who is teaching this semester at Rome's Pontifical Angelicum University.
Today, it would be considered the center of the entire liturgical year. It's the single most important vigil we have, and it's the culmination of the great celebration of Christ's passage from death to life.
And can you explain for our listeners what are the main characteristics of the actual liturgy?
It would be easiest to think of the liturgy falling into four great parts. A liturgy first of light, which centers on the kindling of a fire and the blessing of a candle and the singing of an Easter proclamation, so all about light. Then secondly, a lengthy service of God's Word, multiple readings and psalms and collects, culminating in the Gospel for Easter. The third section is water rites. They're all associated with Christian initiation, so the baptism of infants or adults. And then finally, the Easter Mass, and that's the conclusion and culmination of the entire service.
And what about its history in the Church? Can we trace back when it first sort of evolved as a very distinctive event?
We actually can, but it's quite complex, so I'm going to make this very simple. We have some evidence for baptismal activity in Rome from a couple of documents in the 2nd and 3rd century, Justin Martyr and the so-called apostolic tradition, but we don't know that they're necessarily connected with the Easter Vigil. Then we get information about the Triduum, the Good Friday, Holy Saturday, Easter celebration, and some insight into the vigil, but we're not necessarily sure that the baptisms are done then. So it's not actually until we get to the 8th century that we have documents for all of these elements being part of the Roman celebration of the Easter Vigil.
As it's known, the Easter Vigil is the traditional time when people join the Catholic Church. They are either baptized or formally received into the Church. When and why did that tradition and practice first start?
Again, those letters that I mentioned, we have some letters from Siricius and Decentius, early popes, and they indicate that the Roman custom was only to initiate Christians on 2 days out of the year. They did it on Easter, and then they did it 50 days later on Pentecost. Of course, they also said, in case of an emergency, we'll baptize. But the formal, public, great celebrations of initiation just twice in a year. Why? Because you're connecting them so deeply with the passage of Christ from death to life, Easter, and the pouring out of his Spirit on Pentecost.
You mentioned that the liturgy is divided into four parts, but can you perhaps very briefly sort of run through what actually happens from start to finish?
I can try. In the light service, first we kindle a new fire and bless it. We trace a cross on the great paschal candle and put some grains of incense in it. Then we light the paschal candle. We proclaim three times, Christ our light, and the whole congregation sings, thanks be to God. And then the high point, of course, is the deacon, or if the deacon can't do this, a cantor, singing the Exultet, which is a long, long, rapturous, lyrical piece, praising God for the gift of light. So that's the first part. Second part is a lengthy word service. We could have 7 readings, and each of them followed by the singing of a psalm, each of them followed by a prayer called a collect, one right after another. So we're really pondering the depth of this meaning. And at the conclusion of all of those readings, then we sing the Gloria, we have an epistle reading, another psalm, and then the great Easter Gospel. Lots of Alleluias being sung at that point.
And how long does it last from start to finish?
Well, in a certain sense, this is meant to be a night vigil, so it has to start after sunset. And the hope is that somewhere around midnight we'll actually be celebrating the Eucharist. Mm-hmm. So it could last quite a while. There are even some monastic communities that take those seven readings that I mentioned, and they do the reading followed by the psalm, followed by the prayer. They do one of those an hour, so that this lasts through from sunset until dawn.
So that is indeed a very long vigil.
Very long vigil.
Yes, okay. And what about the vestments? Is there any particular special characteristic there? Or
the best thing to say for vestments is that they are the highest festive forms. So normally we'd have white vestments, but it's quite possible they could be gold, the most festive forms. And the neophytes, that is the newborns, in other words, the people that have been baptized that evening, are normally dressed in gorgeous white robes, their own baptismal albs. But other than that, it would be fairly normal sets of vestments.
As you say, there's a lot of wonderful, joyful texts that we're going to be hearing during this Easter Vigil. Can you single out for us one that you think is particularly worthy of sharing with our listeners?
I would love to. And this is from that exultet that I mentioned, when the deacon is singing, "This is the night when Christians everywhere, washed clean of sin and freed from all defilement, are restored to grace and grow together in holiness. This is the night when Jesus Christ broke the chains of death and rose triumphant from the grave."
Lovely words.
They are.
Okay, well, thank you very much indeed.
My pleasure.
I was speaking to Father Jan Michael Jongers, a professor of liturgy, currently teaching at Rome's Angelicum University.